Hey, have you been on the phone a lot lately? I bet you have. I've been on the phone a lot lately. I'm pulling weeds with one hand and holding the phone with the other hand. I've got a friend who actually learned how to solve the Rubik's Cube, like a whole Rubik's Cube, just from all the time that he has spent on phone calls over the last several weeks. So the other day, I'm on the phone with Kevin, our service programming director, and I'm on our lanai, and I notice a wasp nest that has been developing over the last several days. So I decide I'll take the broom in one hand, I've got the phone in the other hand, and I'll knock this wasp nest down. Actually, there were two or three nests. And so I start knocking these wasp nests down. Now, I grew up in Florida. A lot of times you can knock a wasp nest down, and then they'll just sort of fly away and go look for some other place to build a nest, but not these wasps. These wasps took it personally, and immediately they turn, and they just start coming straight for me. So I start screaming like a little girl, and then Stephanie's yelling at me, why am I yelling? Why am I knocking wasp nests down? And we're both running for cover. Kevin's on the other end of the phone going, what is going on over there? Why can't we just have one professional conversation, you know? But in that moment, when the wasps are coming after me, I have this immediate choice to make, right? It's the same decision that you and I have had to make, that all of mankind has had to make since the beginning of time. And that is, am I going to run or am I going to fight? And my body helps me in that moment to make that decision because my body dumps a bunch of adrenaline into my system. My limbic system responds with something called a fight or flight response or a fight or flight mechanism, right? And it's that thing that elevates our heart rate, it raises our blood pressure, our breathing accelerates, and blood goes to our larger muscle groups so that we can fight off the threat or that we can run for safety. It's this thing that's been around since the beginning of time. I think our creator put it there. Maybe you think it's something that evolved over millions of years, but either way, we were ready to face whatever the threat was of the day. You know, that saber-toothed tiger showed up, and we were ready to deal with it. The problem is that we don't have a lot of saber-toothed tigers in our world today, and yet that fight or flight mechanism still kicks in. It kicks in stressful situations. And you and I have been through some stressful situations in the last 6 weeks. And so whether it's the news that we see on television every day, or whether it is the email that we get that we're not quite sure how to respond to, or whether it's the news that our company is downsizing, or whether it's recognizing how we should deal with that person that we mostly like, but they have some really crazy views about the world right now, we have this fight or flight mechanism that kicks in. And it's a stress cycle that actually elevates our heart rate and accelerates our breathing. And we have to kind of figure out how to deal with that stress in our lives right now and how to live it out well and how to love people in the midst of a season when we're all feeling a lot of stress. It was interesting, this book that I was reading talked about the fact that we're used to fighting off the saber-toothed tiger or running for our lives, either way, expending a lot of energy. And so getting out and getting some exercise is one really good way to help deal with the stress that we're facing right now. But there was another part of that I was reading that I found really interesting, and that is that our pupils dilate in that moment and our vision is very focused. We're very focused on the threat in front of us, which is a good thing. Because if there's a saber-toothed tiger coming from you or several wasps, you should know how to fight them. You should be prepared. You should have all of your focus on that threat or on the exit strategy that you're going to pick if you're going to run for your life. But experts say that it actually creates another problem, and that is lack of situational awareness. That when we become too focused on the threat right in front of us, we can forget that there might be other threats out there as well. In fact, there might be threats that are even bigger than the one we're focused on. And so we could find ourselves, if we're not careful, turning to run from a saber-toothed tiger only to find ourselves running square into a Tyrannosaurus rex. And so understanding the larger playing field is really important before we allow our fight or flight mechanism to just take over. And so as we begin to think about how to deal with stress and how we manage this season that we're in, I think it's really important that we should understand the broader playing field and to recognize that there is a threat that is even greater than the one that's on the news every day. And that threat is a spirit of death and destruction that is coming for you and for me. Now, I know that sounds awfully dramatic, and some of you are going to have some pushback right away when I start to talk about spirits, when I start to talk about the fact that there is a spirit of life in this world and there is a spirit of death in this world. But really, from Yoda to yoga, everyone talks about the fact that there are forces for good and there are forces for evil. So if it helps you to kind of put it in terms that you're more comfortable with, go right ahead. I invite you to do that. But Moses talked about this positive force for life, this energizing spirit of the living God. He used a Hebrew word, ruha. And he talked about this ruha, this energizing spirit, or this wind or breath of God that helped to create life and everything that is in the world today. We talked last week about the fact that when God created creation, it was great, it was awesome, it was wonderful. But through sin, another spirit entered this world, a spirit of death and destruction. And that's still true today. Wherever sin is present, death is right there on its heels. And so we're forced with this dichotomy of two spirits in this world, a spirit of life and a spirit of death. And when Jesus showed up on the scene and Jesus started to heal people, people began to talk about the fact that there was this ruha, this energizing spirit of God that was with him. And then Jesus began to raise people from the dead, and this talk got even stronger. But then Jesus was put to death. He was crucified. And it seemed that the spirit of death and destruction had won. But the spirit of the living God came into Jesus and brought him back to life. That energizing spirit brought him back to life. And he conquered death in that moment, not just for himself, but for you and I. Because he said that that spirit can be with you and I as well. It's not just a spirit that is a Jesus spirit. It's a spirit that Jesus wanted to leave us with as well. And so we can live in and live with this energizing spirit, this Holy Spirit. Listen to what Jesus said to the people that followed him. Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." This is in John 14. Jesus says some really cool things in John chapter 14. You should read it. You should pull it out. But in John 14, verse 17, he says, "The world cannot accept him," can't accept the Spirit, "because it neither sees him nor knows him." In other words, if you've got this block in your mind toward Jesus as the Messiah and Jesus as our Savior, you're not going to see and you're not going to understand the living Spirit that he has sent for us. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Wow. And Paul writes a couple of letters later on, and he's talking about this spirit that Jesus has made available to us, this spirit that Jesus has left us. And Paul says this, he says that we get to enjoy this spirit because we are his children, because Jesus, through his death and resurrection, has made it possible for us to call God our heavenly Father. And so Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, "And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." Walk by the Spirit. The Old Testament prophets talked about this ruha, this energizing spirit, that it would come into the future in such a way that it would empower us to be able to love God and love others. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit, to love God and to love others. And Paul talked about this tension between the spirit of good and the spirit of evil, this tension between the flesh, living in the flesh and living in the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, he said that in the beginning, that we have a mind that is governed by the Spirit. And a mind governed by the Spirit is full of life and peace. But then he goes on talking about how sin came into this world, and as a result of sin coming into this world, creation waits with eager longing. Creation was subjected to futility. Creation has been groaning. And then he says this, likewise, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit actually helps you pray. The Holy Spirit actually helps you speak to God, to cry out to God. And maybe in this season, you're crying out to God in a way that you've never cried out to him before. Maybe in this season, you've recognized in a new way your need for God in your life, for his peace and his comfort and his provision for you and for your family. And the Spirit is actually someone that comes alongside us and helps us pray to our Heavenly Father. Now, I want to read you one more thing. This is from a letter that Paul wrote to one of the churches. It was a church in Philippi, actually. And he said this. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, that would be difficult, and I don't know that I could go along with that, except for that phrase in the middle, in the Lord, right? Like rejoicing always, that would be really difficult. But Paul says we can do it because in the Lord we can understand the big picture. In the Lord we can understand that there's something greater at play. And so we can rejoice always. Let your gentleness be evident to all, to everybody. In other words, let your gentleness be evident even to those crazy people that have a very different view of current events than you do right now. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. He's near to you. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, are you sure, Paul? I can imagine the people reading this letter when they got it from Paul and thinking, but Paul, do you know what we're going through right now? Do you know the circumstances right now? They're extraordinary. And Paul would say, do you know my circumstances when I wrote this letter? Do you know that I had just been shipwrecked? Do you know that I had been snake bitten? Do you know that I had been beaten and that I had been imprisoned? In fact, that I was writing this letter from prison while I was awaiting trial in Rome? Paul would say, yes. Yeah, I know your circumstances. I know they're extraordinary. And he would say, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guys, there is a Holy Spirit that is here to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So I want to put a choice before you today. And it's really two choices. The first choice is to choose to invite the Holy Spirit into your life. If you've never done that, I want to invite you today to take a step of placing your trust in what Jesus Christ did for you in the cross and all that he brings us through his resurrection, the life and the hope and the future that's available to us to be children of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you've never taken that step, if you've never transferred your trust from all that you've done to what Jesus Christ has done for you, I invite you this morning to place your trust in Jesus. And Jesus says that when we do that, he sends his living spirit, his energizing spirit, to live within us and to be with us so that we can say, the Lord is near. And the second choice for you to make is to place your hope in the Spirit of God every single day. To choose to live in the Spirit every single day. You see, choosing Jesus is something that we do once in our lives. It's a big decision to say, I'm going to follow Jesus with the rest of my life. But choosing Jesus is something that we do every single day, over and over again, to wake up and to say, today I choose Jesus. And by choosing Jesus, I choose hope, I choose life, and I choose a future as a child of God. I choose to live in and with the Spirit. I choose to allow the Spirit of the living God to win out over any spirit of death and destruction in this life or in my life. Guys, God has so much for you, and God wants so much for you. The peace that we need today, the peace that can come in the middle of any circumstance, whether we've been shipwrecked or snake bitten or in prison, whether we're facing a saber-toothed tiger or a worldwide pandemic, or even wasps on our lanai, God is there with us through his living Spirit. How do we develop this peace? How do we connect with his Spirit? Well, the Spirit of the living God is there to help us pray, to interpret our words. And I would just encourage you today to turn to God, our Heavenly Father, and to ask him to give you the peace. That we would pray until the peace comes, that you would turn to him, and that you would ask him to fill you with his Spirit, and that in his Spirit, you would know the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against those things, there is and never will be any law. Let's pray. God, I just pray today that you would hear our cry, that you would hear our request to be filled with your Spirit, and that you would send your Holy Spirit. God, for people who are turning to you for the very first time, I pray that they would feel your Spirit living in them, that they would know that they are forgiven through Jesus Christ. And for those of us who are choosing you again, God, I ask that you would fill us with your Spirit of life. Amen.